people in Vancouver, you can't escape from major earthquakes forever.
Well, whether it's hot, whether it's cold, whether it's hot, Frankie's got the weather we got. Wait a minute. Well, whether it's cold, whether it's hot, Frankie's got the weather, whether or not.
Good morning, Prince George, and good afternoon, Winnipeg. You're listening to the Meteorological Report. That's a radio show that Frankie McDonald and I started last year that's about comedy and meteorology. Comedy plus meteorology, com-meteorology. That's what the show's about. It's about how funny the weather is. It's about how much the weather sucks in Canada. You're listening to us on 88.7 FM, CFIR Radio, Prince George. And that airs every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. and re-airs again Tuesdays at 4 p.m. And you're hearing us at CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, out of the University of Winnipeg. So welcome to the show, everybody. I'm your host, Dr. Joey Olney. You can always find the video version of this show on my YouTube channel, Joey Olney, the Caribou Weather Dude. Unfortunately, for some reason, I cannot find my face. I cannot make my face work on the Zoom call tonight. My computer is being extremely stubborn about not allowing my face, which is too bad. We're joining the show with a panel of meteorologists. That includes the infamous Frankie McDonald in Sydney, Nova Scotia, Brandon Houck, the radio weatherman in Brooks, Alberta, Noel Chaos down in Vancouver, BC, Peter Galanko is down in Virginia Beach. I almost said South Virginia again. That's the second time I almost had that mistake. And then Gabriel Berardo in Toronto, in Greater Ontario region there. And there I've gone through everyone who's on the top of my panel. But let's first talk to
Frankie, the weatherman. Frankie, the weatherman.
Ladies and gentlemen, Frankie!
Frankie McDonald, Frankie.
I'm doing great so far, and the weather is going to be a snowstorm in Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island tomorrow. In Sydney, Nova Scotia, snow's going to change to rain tomorrow. First, to start off, snow's going to change over the mixes for precipitation, then eventually rain. Then after that, then it's going to be strong northwest winds with flurries on Saturday. Then after that, it's going to bring an extremely cold weather here in Nova Scotia on Tuesday coming up. And British Columbia's getting warmer, and Calgary's getting Chinook winds and things like that. They're getting really cold weather all the way down Washington, D.C., Virginia, and all these places. And Ontario's getting a lot of lake effect snow before the deep freeze.
What's been going on in the central United States, Frankie?
It's been a lot of cold air lately. Then it got a little bit of warmer air heading for central United States as well. Then it got Santa Ana winds heading to California second half of the January. Could be Santa Ana winds that might trigger a lot of fires.
Tell me, Frankie, tell us about the warm-up that's coming to Western Canada. It's been freezing here.
The warm-up's going to come to Western Canada in the second half of January. Then it's going to turn cold again in February, possible.
Talk to us about the volcano in Iceland that might be going off soon.
It's going to be really, really bad in Iceland. More details to come. A volcano might go off. It's under an active volcano warning for Iceland.
There's a lot of ground deformation happening there. Talk to us about European weather, Frankie.
They're getting a lot of showers and rain in England and those places. Lots of snow, Finland, Sweden, Norway, and over in France and those places. Even snow in Saudi Arabia on New Year's Day. Southeast of Cairo, Egypt, it snowed in Saudi Arabia.
How often does that happen?
Getting more often now because climate change happening around the world.
Cold air, hot air chasing each other, eh?
Another sun-like star just exploded as a red giant.
A supernova. Are we going to see it?
Sun becomes the red giant 5 to 7 billion years from now. And guess what? Roger the Wild Child Show returns on February the 6th, 2022. And Made on Train returns on January 9th, 2022. Made on Train comes first, then Roger the Wild Child on February the 6th.
How cold has it been in Russia lately, Frankie?
This is Frankie McDonald, my own TV station, live from Sydney, Nova Scotia. Snowstorm is headed towards Moscow, Russia on Wednesday, January 5th, 2022. It's going to bring 10 centimeters of snow or more. It's going to bring dangerous and treacherous driving conditions in Moscow, Russia, and the surrounding areas. Roads and highways will be snow covered in Moscow, Russia, and the surrounding areas as well. I want everyone in Moscow to wear your winter gear when you go outside. Make sure to have your devices charged, have your mobile internet ready as well. When you're driving a car, be very careful driving your car so you don't get in a car accident. When you go for a walk, be very careful walking while you are walking. Make sure you have your shovels, snow scoops, snow blowers, snow plows, and saw trucks ready as well. If you have anybody living in Moscow, Russia, be prepared for snowstorm on Wednesday, January 5th, 2022. Take care and stay safe. Don't get caught in the snowstorm. Stay warm and be safe. Extremely cold in Russia and Siberia, those places. Then it's going to gradually warm up in March and April, May. Then it's going to turn extremely hot in Siberia in June.
Saw that white pillars picture you posted, you retweeted, Frankie. Does that happen in Canada with the pillars of light?
Peter Galenko, that light pillar phenomenon, we've been seeing things like that often here, especially when you get to minus 30 and below and you start getting a lot of condensation in the air that's ice fog, basically. Then the light tends to pillar on up. When you see a car coming around the corner, for example, you'll see its light beams way up high in the air above it. So you'll be able to tell sometimes miles in advance that a vehicle's coming. Frank, have you ever seen light pillars?
No, that's north of us.
Talk to us about the weather in Asia.
Over in Japan, they're getting really cold weather. A lot of snow in Western Japan. Tokyo, Japan had snow. Storm in Tokyo.
Talk to me about Australia.
It's been really hot in Sydney, Australia. In Northern Australia, it's nearly 50 degrees Celsius there.
Where are the most thunderstorms to be found on the planet Earth right now?
Amazon rainforest, Uganda, Congo, in Indonesia, in Colombia, in Venezuela, and all these places.
Yeah, they're having the...
Back in July, back in summer of 2020, unusual cold air from Northern Canada came all the way down to Venezuela.
Frankie, talk to us about what you did this week.
I was on the Robin Slim Show on Wednesday and Donna Mantis podcast this Tuesday night coming.
What happened on the Gary and Dino show this week?
And I just doing the weather for Phoenix and Los Angeles. I just did a video for myself for the Gary and Dino show on Wednesday show.
What's the weather for Phoenix and Los Angeles looking like?
It's going to turn really hot in Los Angeles. And Phoenix is going to cause a lot of Santa Ana winds.
There's been a lot of snow in the mountains in California.
Yes, a lot of snow in the mountains. The Santa Ana winds might melt the snow down. It might trigger flooding.
There you go. There you have it. Frankie McDonald over in Sydney, Nova Scotia. Talk to me about how many weather videos you made this week.
I did one for Boston, Nova Scotia, Vancouver Island, Prince Edward Island, California earthquake prediction, Vancouver, British Columbia earthquake prediction. This is Frankie McDonald, my own TV station live in Sydney, Nova Scotia. Major earthquake is going to hit Vancouver, British Columbia anytime soon. It's updated for the year 2022. I want everyone in Vancouver, British Columbia to be prepared for a massive earthquake. It's going to happen anytime soon. But the earthquakes are too unpredictable. We can't predict earthquakes because Vancouver, British Columbia lies on the Pacific Ring of Fire. It lies on a Cascadia subduction zone. It lies between the North American plate, one of you can play, and Pacific plate. Once those three tectonic plates rub with each other, once it slips, that can cause a major earthquake in Vancouver, British Columbia. That can knock out power. That can destroy a lot of buildings. That's going to bring 7.0 greater magnitude or even 5.0 greater magnitude earthquake for Vancouver and the surrounding areas, including Vancouver Island, Victoria, British Columbia. I want everyone in Vancouver, British Columbia to start doing your earthquake drills. The earthquake can damage bridges, roads, power lines, transformers, telephone poles, and everything as well. I want everyone in Vancouver to be prepared for a major earthquake. Make sure you have your medical kits ready, your emergency kits, flashlights, candles, crank up radio, extra batteries, generators, battery operated lanterns ready as well. Make sure to, if you're indoors during an earthquake, go underneath the tables, go underneath the chairs. When you're outdoors, don't go inside a building during an earthquake for Vancouver, British Columbia, in the surrounding areas. People in Vancouver, you can't escape from major earthquakes forever. It's going to happen anytime soon. I guarantee it's going to happen anytime soon in Vancouver, British Columbia. If you have anybody living in Vancouver, British Columbia, be prepared for major earthquake anytime soon. 2022 update. There's a chance of tsunami. Take care, stay safe. Don't get caught in an earthquake, be safe.
What's your earthquake prediction?
Massive earthquake is going to hit California anytime soon in 2022.
What about Vancouver?
People in Vancouver, you can't escape from major earthquakes forever. That means I told people in Vancouver to start doing their earthquake drills. And I got something to say. The asteroid 2009 JF1 headed towards the Earth on May 6, 2022.
And it's going to bypass the Earth.
Yes, that's going to cost a lot of earthquakes.
Anything else you want to tell us before we move on, Frankie?
People in Vancouver, you can't escape from major earthquakes forever. Moscow, Russia had snow back on Wednesday. And did you hear about that? More cold air. They had cold air. Saudi Arabia brought a lot of snow there in Saudi Arabia because climate change happening in the world.
Let's skip on over to Brooks, Alberta, where Brandon Houck, he's the weatherman and the warning man over at 105.7 FM, the country radio station there in Brooks. And you've been besieged by extremely cold air in the prairies for now a couple weeks going. It's not been fun, I'm sure, but there seems to be some Chinook light on the horizon for yourselves. Talk to us about this cold snap, how bad it's been.
All right, Brandon Houck out here to win. Almost lost my toot.
Yes, and speaking of light pillars, I saw light pillars actually this past week. Light pillars coming right off the Christmas lights. Absolutely incredible. I actually looked outside to see if there was light pillars out there. I would have shut everything down and walked out there to show you the guys, but I don't see any light pillars tonight so far because we've got more light snow coming down. Been absolutely brutal last 2 weeks here with wind chills well in the minus 40s and overnight lows well in the minus 30s. We did take a little bit of a break last weekend, but it was a strong westerly wind, so it didn't really make it nice out there. It was kind of brisk out there, but it was not so bad. I was able to go outside for the first time in weeks there, not have razor blades up my nose and feeling like my eyes are going to freeze together. That's been the case there as I'm hanging out in the isobar here. It's been pretty cold. We've had I didn't think we broke any records. No, we didn't break any records here in Brooks. I think other regions, especially in BC, broke records. Indeed, and maybe even far northern parts of the province there. But this cold air is, we're going to take a bit of a break from this cold air mass as we go into next week. Some areas might actually warm up tomorrow on the Friday, the 7th there, as we have that low pressure system coming out of British Columbia. It's going to develop a new area of low pressure on the international border. It's going to send a little warm air advection from the Pacific into the southern prairies. So some areas in southern Alberta may actually get above freezing tomorrow. That would be more south of Highway 3. But if you go north of Highway 3, you stay like minus 15 to minus 20 in the afternoon, which is a little bit better than where we've been. But we're going to see kind of a cold, light snow coming down as well. So some areas might get about 5 to 10-ish centimeters of snow, especially in southern Saskatchewan, as that warm air advection. You're going to start the day off tomorrow in southern Manitoba in the minus 40s. And then you'll see the temperature sort of like minus 12 by the evening hours with that warm air advection. So it's going to be a bit of a reverse temperature trend. When you get a reverse temperature trend, that's when the temperature rises at night instead of the afternoon. So you have your coldest period during the day and the warmest period at night. So that's what we call the reverse temperature trend. Now, as we go through the weekend here, we'll get back to that cold air mass for Saturday and Sunday. So like minus 20s, minus 30s again. And then by next week, we've got that Pacific flow really starting to kick in here. And it looks like we will see a little bit of a westerly flow. I saw Environment Canada going with 12, 13 degrees. I don't think it's going to get that high. We got snow on the ground. It's going to take some time to warm up here, especially as we go into next week. So we'll see probably temperatures, I think on the Monday, maybe near zero, and then we'll probably jump up above the melting point for a couple of days next week. So that will be a treat, and I might actually wear short.
We record the show on Thursday nights for everyone listening out there in Radio Land. Prince George hearing it on Saturday. This is the 6th right now that we're talking on of January. You're going to hear us on the 8th of January in Prince George, and then on the 10th in Winnipeg. So we do want to ask you about Winnipeg's weather next week, but also want to talk about this insane weather that British Columbia is in the middle of right now. It's pretty messy right now in the province. There's a lot of freezing rain coming down in Vancouver as well.
Yeah, that low pressure system delivered quite a dumping of snow today in British Columbia there. And now you've got the freezing rain on top of that, especially in the Fraser Valley where things are getting really, really slick right now. You have a pocket of snow and then you add some freezing rain on top of that, and that was just basically nightmare to travel on. So we're going to continue to see that through the night tonight as that milder air moves through. So we'll hopefully see temperatures jump up above the melting point, change it to rain, but still going to be slick overnight and into tomorrow. So definitely travel will not be recommended for the next 24 hours, at least as that system moves through. And that's also dumping quite a bit of snow in the BC interior as well. I think up in the highway passes could see up to 50 centimeters of snow by tomorrow. So it's going to get quite messy all across southern BC.
With a fresh round of it all coming on Sunday, of course, as well. The cold spot in British Columbia right now, it's 7:30 at night on the 6th of January, is 39.1 below at Dease Lake Airport. So very cold still in the northern part of BC. Prince George, there's a lot of snow in the forecast this next 5 days. But Saturday, snow, minus 16 and minus 23 at night. So cold, but we're going to see that warm-up start Sunday, minus 7, nighttime, minus 14. Then the next round of snow comes on Monday, Tuesday, sort of minus 3, 30% chance of flurries, minus 8 at night, 0 degrees on Tuesday. So there you have it. That's the relief from the extreme cold. When does Winnipeg hope to see some relief from this cold?
And I should add something there too, with Watson Lake up in the Yukon today. They were the third coldest place on the planet today, behind a couple locations in Russia, with the overnight low earlier today at minus 52.2 degrees was the temperature, the coldest they've ever been since 2007. And the wind chill felt like minus 60 this morning. So that was fresh.
That's extreme. I don't even want to imagine. Like, I've had some minus 40 experiences now in my life. And once you're that cold, each degree gets that much more punishing. It's insane.
Yeah, indeed. And as we take a look at Manitoba's story into next week, so they're going to be cold this weekend again after the brief warm up on Friday. So we'll see our temperatures dive to the minus 30s. And I expect those wind chills to reach minus 40 again, especially Sunday into Monday, and into Tuesday morning we'll start seeing an improvement temperature side of things. So we'll see temperatures actually get back to near seasonal values. I don't think we'll get above freezing in southern Manitoba coming up next week, but we'll actually get to seasonal, so like minus 5 to minus 7. So that will be nice for Manitoba.
Well, it'll be nice for anybody. I mean, that's some good weather. Yeah, I've had enough of this. My pipes unfroze for 2 days in my kitchen, and that was awesome. I did half my dishes arrogantly, and then they refroze again that quickly. And I should know better because I'm a weatherman. I should have known it was going to be just too cold. So no water in my kitchen once again, and living like a caveman and eating off paper plates and trying to do anything I can as a bachelor to just get myself through to next week when I'm back at work and eating in camp and getting gourmet food served to us as much as we can eat. While we're in Western Canada, I might as well talk to Noelle Chaos, who's down in Vancouver. How much snow have you been seeing down there?
We've seen a lot, especially for Vancouver. Yeah, we talked about the snowfall at Christmas last week. And I think we saw like a good 10 to 15 centimeters of that. It melted for a day or two around New Year's. We've now got, I would say, about another 10 centimeters of snow, except it's been creating this sort of layer of ice and then slush and then ice and then snow and then just wet muck that freezes and melts and then refreezes. So it's been turning neighborhoods like into skating rinks. Like the main roads in most places are okay, but the side roads, like Vancouver just hasn't touched them at all. And the sidewalks, like unless like a house or a business or or like anything decides to shovel it, they're just leaving those to nature to deal with. So we've got like frozen slush and like almost snow puddles, and also like with the freezing rain, because it thaws and then it keeps refreezing, we just have these like solid sheets of ice like on the sidewalks. Right now it's raining fairly heavily and we are above zero, so hopefully it will like deal with a little bit of that and make it a little easier for people to get around. But that also means that the next thing that happens is busted pipes and flooding. And I know a few people whose houses have had busted pipes. I know of a jam space who had some pipes burst and a jam room that got flooded, and a venue, and there's a local venue that is a pretty critical part of the punk scene and does like almost every, and does probably at least half, if not three quarters of the shows in town. They just had their bathroom just destroyed by like bursting pipes.
And it wasn't destroyed to begin with either. So
no,
like,
it is actually being very clean throughout the pandemic.
I recall the Cobalt bathroom being in there and seeing a large rat going across once during a punk rock show in Vancouver, and thinking in my disoriented state, that's interesting. But so that's the thing, Vancouver, it gets so slushy and gross. One thing I do love about living up here in the mountains, even compared to Quesnel, which will sometimes jump above zero in the wintertime, is that we stay below zero here at 4,000 feet above sea level. And we have the big snow, of course, but it just keeps piling up. So yes, there's a lot of snow to deal with, but we don't have that transition back and forth from slush to garbage. And the other thing too, I noticed when I lived in Vancouver, no house I lived in was properly insulated. They were all very cold. And so nowadays, like I had this experience where I went down to Van and sitting in my friend's house, and he's asking me, he's like, "Oh, it must be pretty cold up there in Wells, eh?" I says to the guy, "Hey, I got a wood stove. Like, there's a wood stove. I can actually put my hand on it if I want from where I'm sitting right now. There's a wood stove burning." And I said, like, it's true. It's minus 20 outside a lot of the time in the winter, maybe minus 10. And it's cold when you go outside. You can put clothes on. The difference between my house and your house is it's cold in your house, and it's wet and damp and crappy outside. So, and then none of my friends in Vancouver, because they pay these super high rents, can afford to have heat. You're sitting in their house wearing three layers of clothes, shivering in the damp air. Vancouver in the wintertime is pretty gross. And I'd even found similar things in Ontario when growing up. You know, living up at Bancroft and north of Medoc, it would stay winter when it was winter, whereas go down to Belleville or go down to the greater Toronto area, you get that fluctuation. And when I went to university in Hamilton, that fluctuation between cold and warm. And then so during the day, you're out there and all the snow turns and your boots get all wet. But hey, now it's minus 5 at 5:30 at night, and now your wet boots are frozen solid, and it sucks. Gabriel Berardo, you have some below zero weather going on right now, and consistently some minus 13 nights in your forecast, things like that. Yeah. Talk to us about your experience finally of winter this year.
Well, I mean, it just kind of like sucks in like a way, right? Because like Brandon was talking about the cold, and I was kind of making fun of him in a way. Oh, it's so cold. You know, they're going to freeze in minus 40. Now it is coming, of course, to the south, and it's gonna like really, of course, bring those overnight lows into the minus 20s, I actually think, and it's gonna feel close to minus 30s. Unlike, of course, Brandon, though. I mean, like minus like 50, like wind chills are really, really, really bad for him, you know?
We've had the exact same cold here. I mean, you feel bad for me too. But it's maybe going to take the better part of a week or so to get to you. But it looks like a lot of that cold air will come to Ontario sometime.
But the difference between your cold out there and our cold here is that at those temperatures, it's a very dry cold. And as Joey said, you can just put more clothes on. Whereas our cold is a very wet cold, And in Vancouver in the winter, you get wet and then you get cold and then you stay wet and then you stay cold and then you just complain that your feet are wet.
You're complaining to a guy in Gabriel Berardo who knows all about humid cold because Southern Ontario is awful for it, actually, as is Montreal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. We get this dry type of cold and it's not like the best, okay? But I mean, of course, it will be getting colder heading into this, of course, weekend and heading into next week. And especially, of course, heading into earlier, of course, next like week, like Monday, maybe Tuesday. I've also heard that there've also, of course, been a lot of lake effect snow. Buffalo and Fort Erie, that is the southern Niagara region, they have actually got over 30 centimeters of snowfall there. And I mean, it was just from one like persistent band of snow. So it was really, really, really a lot of snowfall there. But here it is always like a mixture with, you know what I mean? Like lake effect. Sometimes we do get the lake effect in the city, especially also north of the city, but it mainly, of course, you know, remains along the shores of the lake, Huron, south of there, Niagara, even of course Georgian Bay. They always get the, you know what I mean, like the lake effect snow. I'm also of course watching a few systems heading into next week that will also bring some lake effect. Nothing like major though, so I don't have really nothing huge to kind of talk about. It is of course the new year, so I haven't really spoken to you guys in like a whole entire year. It's been that long. I mean, like, wow. But anyway, as I've been, of course, saying, I mean, it's a new year, same old weather, just like, of course, always, right? Cold and cold and cold. This is, of course, the coldest time of the year, I think, for the country, I think, or most like the country. I think it is the most coldest, I think, month of the year.
Sure, yes, actually. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, right? Hopefully it warms up heading into March, maybe, right? I think that it will maybe start to warm up maybe here into like later, maybe March heading into April. Cause that is of course usually of course when it, you know, starts to like, you know what I mean, like warm up here. But anyway, all of us have something in common for this new year, cold, cold, cold. And that's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, it's coming for you next, and maybe you won't get it as severe as we had it. Yeah, I mean, the December 27th, I think it was, we had minus 42 here in Wells on everyone's thermometers, and that was the talk of town. People posting pictures on the Wells chat board. Minus 4, this is what my thermometer said. Yes, that's correct. Oh, mine says it too. Extreme cold. I mean, and I'm living in this old building where I have to keep the fires going. And of course, I took this old stove I had out last year because it was just getting to the point where it needed to be replaced. But I didn't have a viable option except for this other stove I had in the woodshed, and it's small. It doesn't carry the volume of wood, which is in some ways nice. I've not gone through near as much wood this year. The other thing, though, is that I wake up in the morning and the stove is out, and I got to go down and start it all over again. Whereas with my old big one and the Blaze King I want to get eventually, I could fill it and then close the door, shut her down, and then go to sleep, wake up the next morning and still have coals. My old one would have half a log sometimes sitting. I could put whole rounders in it. It was awesome. So definitely this cold snap for me has meant extreme cold mornings, like having to get up and then there's only so much wood you can have in the house. Eventually, you're going to have to go back out to that woodshed and start bringing some in. Frankie, can you tell us what creates lake effect snow?
Warm air, warm water, and cold air.
That's right. Yep. So as the cold air is flying over top of that warm water, it starts picking up that moisture and bam, it starts dumping. First place it can. The last person we have to introduce before we get to our meteorological discussions is our patient friend down in Virginia, Peter Galenko. You actually had some winter weather come through parts of the state this week. I don't know if you see much of that. And you had some severe thunderstorm activity as well last weekend.
Yes, we did. And not so much snow in Virginia Beach, but we did get snow in Virginia Beach, but it did not stick here in Virginia Beach, but more inland in the Richmond area and closer to D.C. They had closer to around a foot of snow in some places around there, which caused a possible record traffic jam on I-95, where some people were stuck in traffic for more than 24 hours. Senator Tim Kaine tweeted after being stuck in traffic for 19 hours, because that I-95 is a route some people take to go to Washington, D.C. So I've driven all there plenty of times before. I've gotten stuck in traffic for a few hours before, but I never heard of a 24-hour traffic jam. But that happened. They were not prepared. Frankie made a video telling people to be prepared, and people weren't prepared. But I was we missed a lot of the snow action here in Virginia Beach, but we had a lot of high winds, and the power went out here a few times, and for a while around 75,000 people here in Virginia Beach were without power. So it was mostly high winds and some sleet and snow. I got a little bit of footage outside during the windiest and snowiest part that we had, but it wasn't cold enough to stick here in Virginia Beach. And I felt kind of terrible thinking about how Brandon was talking about how it was brisk over there, and you're talking about the different types of cold and burning the firewood and whatnot up there. And just the other day, I woke up and I was like, why is it so damn cold in this house? And I was like, oh, it's 40 Fahrenheit outside. And I knocked up the thermometer to 76 degrees Fahrenheit, because that 40s Fahrenheit for me is brisk out here, which is I'm spoiled, because listening to y'all's weather stories, I'm like,
I'd be a teacher, man.
So I'm relatively lucky. Besides that storm, and it was pretty stormy for a while there. We've continued to have a fairly mild, warm winter here for Virginia. For some parts, that is more snow than average. But here in Virginia Beach, we just got a little nothing sticking.
It's a pretty crazy traffic jam story. Certainly, British Columbia is no stranger to road closures. I mean, we had the floods at the beginning of December that resulted in people being stranded in Hope for a number of days and places like that. Right now, with the snowstorm going on in BC, if you look at drivebc.ca, there's just a flurry of incidents, and sometimes on these mountain passes, roads get closed pretty easily, either from avalanches or from one accident shuts down the whole highway. So there's incidents right now all over the place, one near Harrison Hot Springs, one on Highway 3, two on Highway 3, another on Highway 5 south of Merritt, another between Merritt and Spatsum, another near Spence's Bridge, another one south of Kanaka Bar, another on Highway 99, one back by Seton Lake, another by Gold Bridge, incidents by 100 Mile House or 150 Mile Ranch, incidents by Williams Lake tonight, Soda Creek, incidents two on the Highway 20 and one that's south of Hanceville. So you get the idea, two south of Quesnel, one outside of 10. I'm not even sure where that is. That must be the old Prince George Highway. Get the idea. The weather's pretty bad in BC right now. If you're traveling, you're probably going to have to face the fact that this could happen to you. You could get stuck somewhere in traffic. What's the longest time one of you's ever been stuck in traffic?
Probably like an hour, maybe like to 2 hours, maybe, I think, and that's it. Probably here, here in the city, we could have some traffic on the highway when there's like a squall or something like that moving in, or like a snow like storm. Like, the roads are horrible here in the city. I mean, I'm like, they're probably like the worst out of like anybody. Like, I'm gonna be like straight up like honest, man. People here, they do not know how to drive properly. And if you already don't even like know how to drive properly without the weather, then with the weather and all, like the snow, especially of course when there's ice too, there's always a collision accident on of course one of the major hybrid routes here. Like there's always every like single storm, squall, maybe there's always at least something happening, and there's always video footage of it too. It's just really nasty here, man. Like the roads would get nasty here in the winter.
The same here. Like people just lose their minds and they just completely forget how to drive.
Yeah.
The longest I've ever been stuck driving was 3 hours. I was coming back from a road trip in 2020. And I stopped in Chilliwack to hang out with a couple of friends. And as I'm driving home from Chilliwack, I got stuck in a traffic jam that I'm assuming was probably the result of an accident or something that happened on the freeway. And we were there for probably a good 3 hours in terms of transit, because I used to do a lot of greyhounding, and the music project I play in I've toured on the Greyhound a lot. And so I've had like times where you're like stuck from a Greyhound delay for like several hours up to like even like a day or so.
Yeah, I had a whole day in Sudbury, Ontario back in March 2003, the very first time I came west. A full 24 hours we spent at the Greyhound Depot.
Hey, everybody, I got something to tell you. Tomorrow's Christmas Day in Russia and Ukraine.
Oh.
Oh, they remember
really? Michael. Merry Christmas.
Michael Sannikov has his Christmas tomorrow.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Well, Merry Christmas to all of our listeners in Russia. What's the longest you ever spent stuck in traffic, Frankie?
In Russia's Christmas, not on December 25th. Her Christmas is on December 25th. Their Christmas is on January 7th.
How long have you been stuck in traffic, Frankie? Well, what's like your longest time that you were stuck in traffic, Frankie, when you were in the car, like your longest time?
That means that when I was on the bus in 2013, they had a big lineup waiting on the bus, waiting to go to the mall, because there's so many people doing last minute Christmas shopping.
Oh, okay. So that's the longest time.
I don't think City, Nova Scotia has traffic jams much. Maybe you have road closures occasionally. I'm not sure how much.
And when you're doing last minute of Christmas shopping around December 22nd, 23rd, they have a traffic jam because of people fighting over last minute of Christmas stuff, like clothes.
You ever had to break up any fights while working at the Mayflower Mall, Frankie?
That's be long before the pandemic.
Yeah. You ever encounter people having like a full on fight, though?
Yeah. Is there any fights, Frankie?
That means I encountered a lot of people at the Mayflower Mall that was long before the COVID-19 pandemic was declared on March 11th, 2020.
He's almost like the mall cop. Like,
do you tell them to calm down and behave themselves if they're out of order?
Yeah, to tell them to just clean floors and things like that before the pandemic. Security guards' job is to tell them to calm down. I just clean floors.
Not your jobs. You're not going to deal with that. I don't blame you.
Brendan Houck, any traveling horror stories being stuck on highways?
I got a couple here, actually. I'll go through three here. First was a travel on the Highway 1 from through the Rogers Pass to Avalanche. So it was a long go there. I think that took a couple of hours to get out of there. But where I sat in one spot for a long time, that was 2 hours. Sitting in one spot on a bus, was in Beijing. I don't know what happened. There was no weather, nothing to be concerned about. Somebody had a little whoopsie, or I don't know. But we sat in Beijing, and and we were late for supper. That's for sure. So that was almost 10 years ago. I should share this one story. It's not much of a traffic jam, but it was a bus horror story, I guess. We were China there. And that was after coming off the Great Wall of China. And we all gather in this restaurant here, and we have this fantastic meals there too. But there's this pepper. I think it was a ghost pepper or something that was in my dish.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't know it was in the dish, so I ate it. oh, my God. I think my ears were steaming, and I chugged at least 5 bottles of water. It was so intense there, and I don't think I finished my lunch.
They're probably laughing in the kitchen at you.
Yeah, and it's getting on the bus there after chugging all that water. It's still like hot. got on that bus, and it was a 4-hour bus ride back to Beijing. And after chugging all that water, oh my goodness, that was terrible.
That must have been very uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable. And by the time we got to Beijing, the guy said, we have to make enough. I got to go to the washroom right now. He's like, oh, just wait. No, I got to go right now. So we ran into the marketplace and found a washroom, and I survived.
A lot of the roadside stops in China, you don't have typical washrooms there. You got, like, troughs. They've upscaled things a little bit over the past decade, but it's been pretty old school where it's like dugout
bathroom style.
I think one of my worst ones, or at least one of the most told ones, is I remember in 2017, I was on tour, and this is right when the province like caught fire, and like I'm on tour, like I don't know how much greyhounding anyone here other than Joey has done. So I don't know if you're familiar with like Greyhound's level of general incompetence compared to their incompetence when anything happens. I remember like I'm waiting for the bus like in Chilliwack. They just sort of canceled all the buses. They had like a bunch of evacuees that were coming in off buses, and they just boot them off the buses, and there's like basically chaos in the Greyhound station. I ended up catching a ride up to Prince George, but coming back, like it took probably 5 buses in total to get from Prince George down to Chilliwack. It took like probably almost 24 hours. We were in Cache Creek, well, it's on fire, like just outside of town. So like everyone's debating where to go eat. And we end up like eating at this like truck stop near the Greyhound station. We all get food poisoning and then have to go from Cache Creek down to Chilliwack. And you've got like 11 people on the bus that are horrendously sick. And I'd say that was probably, I'm not gonna go in any further detail, but that was probably one of my travel horror stories.
I got something to say, you. Michael P. Mahone's Facebook rankings list. I won that first place overall last year in 2021. I defeated Mary Jo DeBell.
You did. I know that was a heated. Mary Jo DeBell was always winning.
And I defeated her in a Michael P. Mahone Grand Prix, Mike the Canyon Grand Prix Facebook group rankings for the year 2021.
So you can imagine my life as a touring musician. There's been many times I've been totally screwed over on the highways. I played 2,000 shows in my life as a folk singer and country singer in Canada. Many times had many, you know, for example, this one time coming through the Fraser Canyon in Yale going northward, an accident had happened. And next thing you knew, we were sitting there for hours. Well, lo and behold, it was when we finally came up past the accident site, it was a paper truck had slammed into the rock wall of the canyon. And there was like a transport truck carrying paper, and there was paper everywhere flying around. It was actually kind of hilarious. Another time where we'd literally been driving across Canada it'd been 6 weeks on the road, and then finally we were in and everyone else had been dropped off who was on our entourage, so we had no more musicians. It was just my ex-wife and I, and we're coming through Kelowna, and we're 4 hours from Vancouver going home, and then suddenly it started snowing hard and then harder, and we got to West Kelowna and it was like really snowing hard, and there was like accidents everywhere, and then an ambulance came flying past us real fast, like, uh-oh, should we try going over top the connector to Merritt? It's like, well, you know, if anyone can do it, I can. So we start going up that past the Merritt connector highway pass there, and we can see in the distance the ambulance lights flashing. I'm like, oh boy, must be that accident that ambulance is going to. And then we get up to it wasn't the accident the ambulance was going to. It was the ambulance itself that had an accident. So it was in the ditch on its side. I'm like, okay, that's a bad sign. I think next chance we get, we're going to turn off and head back into Kelowna for the night. Didn't we see a hostel that has a $50 to $5 rooms? Yes, that's what we're going to do. And then, yeah, so that we get up to the accident the actual accident the ambulance never made it to, and there was firefighters using the jaws of life on a vehicle. Like, oh my God. We got to that hotel. It was a hostel, and we got our own tiny little room for $55, and I watched the Leafs beat the Canadians like 6-0, I think it was. And then they just put a brand new hot tub in at the hostel outside, so it was snowing all hard, and we're sitting outside in the hot tub. The two of us, it was actually pretty good. Many times where highways were closed down because of avalanches and slides, and we had to take really long detours, 6-7 hour detours or whatever. You just, like, if you're in southern BC and Highway 3 gets closed, you got to go all the way back around and up and then north to Revelstoke and then over, and it's a long, long time. I remember one time we were really in a hurry to get back from Tofino to catch this particular ferry because we had a gig in Vancouver. But when we got to the Malahat Pass, there was vehicles lined up for like a kilometer, just not moving. Me being somewhat aggressive sometimes, like, what the heck is going on? So I went, got out of the vehicle, go walking way up the road, walk. I'm going to find out what's going on here, why we're not moving. And we finally get up there, and there's a little black bear. He's on the side of the road, and everyone's just stopped taking pictures of it. And there's like dozens of vehicles just snarled up in the middle of it. And I was so furious. So I charged after the bear. Get out of here. You're bad. Threw some gravel at him, and the bear left. and then I turn around, and there's this truck. This dad, he's all mad. He's like, and his kids are crying. He's like, Jimmy's never seen a bear before, you know, and I ruined it.
You're spot. Well, he's never gonna see a bear again. Good.
So many examples of things like this that there's a time in Winnipeg I got stuck, for all you listeners on CKUW 95.9, got stuck at the Via Rail station for many hours because of an incident on the tracks. The train hadn't come through from Ontario, and so I was waiting, and then I bumped into some native friends I had that just happened to have in Winnipeg. And the next thing you knew, I went off drinking, and back in those days I drank hard, and so I finally come back to the train. It's like 1 a.m. when the train finally was ready to go. But of course, I'm stinking plastered, and I'm sitting on my seat and fiddling with my guitar all wasted. And the attendant comes up, and she says, it's late. Can't play your guitar in here. And after so many hours of waiting in Winnipeg because of this waiting, and I would kind of annoyed, and I belligerently said, don't you know who I am? I was kidding, of course, because back then nobody knew who I was. And I didn't get kicked off the train, though. I talked my way out of it. That was a good time. Brandon has another Greyhound story.
It was I think about 5 years or so ago, and the Greyhound's still running, but this one is pretty short. I was coming back from Banff and then decided to take the Greyhound back, and signed up for my seats and everything, and all of a sudden get on the bus, and the bus is full. So then I get back off the bus and all frustrated and stuff, and next thing you know, the driver ordered a taxi for me, so I got to take a taxi for free for several hundred kilometers. It was a nice bus run, I have to say.
Greyhound has a problem with overselling tickets, so we have people get on the bus and the bus is full, and they're like, but we bought tickets. And so the driver's like, well, I don't know. And so they just go and they sit down in the aisle, and they're like, well, we bought tickets, so we want to take the bus. And we're the rest of us are all like, we don't care. We don't want to sit here for 3 hours while everyone argues about this. And so so the driver just gets on. It's like, yeah, I don't really care that much either. And so we end up like driving. We've got like people all down the aisle, and we're just like, and like, you can't really get up to use the bathroom or anything. So we're just like, oh, well, whatever. Another one, which also happened in Alberta. I was up visiting a friend in Calgary.
Yeah, the Greyhound was brutal. I don't miss having to travel on the Greyhound at all.
I harbor nothing but scorn and contempt for the Greyhound. It is one of the biggest motivators between me getting my license and a car.
Frankie asked me what Michael's up to. He's doing all right. He's looking at the Shanghai AWS Science Center for office space. to get a business going. That's not really weather related, but to answer Frankie's question, that's what he's up to. And I'm getting an LLC registered for him here in the States because people don't like transferring money to Eastern Europe. But that's a unrelated topic. Michael's doing all right.
And Michael has been to Grozny, Russia, and Sochi, Russia before.
I don't know. I know he was in Chechnya like last year. And then I remember him saying he went up to Moscow for something the other year. So I don't know. I'll ask him about his travels in Russia. I know he mostly, when he's back in Europe, he mostly just stays in Ukraine. And he's done a lot of Asia traveling. I'm not sure how extensive his Russia travels are.
Who is he?
He joined for a few seconds last week. He's just a, he's a friend of mine that has joined for some chats with Frankie and I before. But I met him back in 2017. I met him in Hong Kong, and I've been friends with him for a while. I traveled with him to the Netherlands, and he was based out of Asia for a while and traveled back to the Ukraine. And as you know, Frankie is a very hip on Russia and Eastern Europe weather, that sort of thing. So likes to stay up to date on what's going on out there.
What's the worst snowstorm you've ever seen?
Oh, wait, hold up. I actually, of course, know. So, I mean, so back, of course, when I was younger, right? Like when I was maybe like 11, maybe 10, 12. I don't like, it was at some point in 2013 or 2012, there was a huge snow like storm that moved in, and I was just watching the weather network. I didn't really know about models. So I kind of like took like the weather network serious, like right and everything like that. I had the snowfall totals and everything like that, and I had all like the news articles that I kind of just took it as, of course, that, right? But I also, of course, lived about like 40 to 50 minutes more kind of south where I actually live right now. So I actually lived in Halton Hills when I actually went to sleep, though, right? So I was looking at my window, right? Because like my roof is kind of close to like the window, right? So I saw like a little bit of snow maybe, right? Packed on the window. And then when I woke up, half of the window was covered in snow. Like there's no way it snowed that much. And then it was at least 40 to 50 centimeters, maybe at least 35. But I mean, like it was like, and then I looked out and my neighbor was trying to, of course, drive his car, maybe, right? He wanted to maybe go like somewhere, not even a few feet out. He gets all like stuck and everything like that. And it's like, he had to like push it. I think that's all I could really remember. And then, of course, remember going in my backyard, right, kind of like enjoying like a snowfall, right? Because me and like my dad and my brother were just like, hey, I mean, who wants to go outside right now and see how much snow fell and everything, right? And shovel with me or use like those snow machines that blow out all the snow and everything like that. I was like, yeah, I mean, you know what, I don't really want to help you guys shovel, but I want to just kind of play in the snow. And I was like, and they're like, oh, okay. I mean, I also was really kind of like small too, so I couldn't really shovel that much. And it was, and I mean, the snow was up to like my knees, but also, of course, keeping also in mind too, I was also pretty short too. I was like 4 foot something, maybe. I don't even know, but I mean, okay, right? I was also pretty short. That was the biggest snowfall that I've ever seen. It covered all the roads, buses and schools were canceled. And I was just like, oh, wow, right? That is like a lot of snow. I didn't really post it. I didn't have Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat or like nothing. So I was just like looking at it and I was just like enjoying it, right? Like it was like the good old kind of days.
Weird.
I didn't have social media and I was just like looking at it. It is a really weird type of story. I mean, it's the biggest that I've ever seen. I mean, it was a lot of like snow. Okay, I'm not gonna lie. It's nothing like nothing exactly like we see like now. We don't like when we have like a storm now. It's like maybe 10 to 15 centimeters, and I'm like, oh wow, a lot of snowfall. Yeah. Okay, no, that ain't a lot of snowfall for me. I'm sorry, but 15 is pretty low for me. 20 is even pretty low for me.
We are pretty much out of time, but
yeah. No,
sorry and about that, guys. It's got the I whole got show. News for you. Hey, Joey, you'll be going. I want you to go on the Ange podcast. Ange lives in Montreal, East Island. Joey, you could be a guest on the Ange podcast.
Angie, right, yeah. Frankie? Angie, yeah.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah, when's that?
Yeah.
That means you have to contact Angie.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. Any crazy snowstorm story, Brandon?
Okay, we'll go through this here. So, yes, this was back in 2011 where we had a three-day blizzard and shut all the highways down. You could not go anywhere, and the snow drifts were as high as the roof of this building.
Oh, wow.
And you had to shovel the snow off the roof.
I got to go shovel the snow off my roof. That's coming up for me, definitely. Frankie, how does people find you on the internet?
My Twitter's at Frankie McDee, and my Facebook is Frankie McDowell. My Instagram is Frankie McDee 1984, and my TikTok is Frankie McDowell 1984. My LinkedIn is Frankie McDowell. My Clap is Frankie McDowell 1984, and my Snapchat is Frankie McDowell, and my Twitch is Frankie McDowell 1984. And my YouTube channel is Dogs and Wolves.
The famous and fabulous Frankie McDonald, Noel Chaos in Vancouver, BC, Peter Glanco in Virginia Beach, Gabriel Berardo down in Southern Ontario, and Brandon Houck in Brooks, Alberta. I'm Joey Olney. This is the Meteorological Report. You've been listening to us on CFIR 88.7 FM and CKUW 95.9 FM. We'll be on again next week, so do tune in. And for all of you who see the video version on YouTube on my Joey Only Caribou Weather Dude YouTube channel, sorry that my face isn't in the show this week. Nothing
there,
I can do.
Yeah, it's not there anymore. I don't know what to say.
And with no further ados, we'll see you next time.
Right, bye. We're not going to get any views this time on YouTube. No one's going to want to watch without.
Oh, I know, man. Everybody's going to want to watch, man. It's Joey Only's show. Come on. It's,
I'll just tease it. I'm just joking.
I know.
People in Vancouver, you can't escape from major earthquakes forever.